I am so excited to announce my newest baby, a book for parents all about tongue tie. Tongue Tie for Parents is the book you need if you have any questions about whether there's a tongue tie, how to get treatment, if your baby needs treatment, how to go about it, how to make decisions, how to help you and your baby recover. All of that is in this ebook. Every day I get questions from parents like you, and I know you need answers. Tongue Tie for Parents is built from the same step-by-step protocol I use when families sit across from me in my office. It's the information that you need for clarity, for confidence, and to help you make care decisions based on your own goals, because that's what's most important. You shouldn't need a Google search to get answers. You aren't crazy or overreacting. You are trying to figure out what is best for you and your baby. It's here and ready for you. Tongue Tie for Parents is an easy download. You can have it today for only $27. Go to tonguetieexperts.net/parentbook or follow the link in the show notes, because you and your baby deserve clarity, not confusion. You're listening to the Tongue Tie Experts podcast, a weekly program providing information and support for those families impacted by tongue and lip tie and the professionals caring for them. I'm Lisa Palladino, a midwife and a lactation consultant with over 30 years of experience. If you are a parent looking for answers or a professional who is curious to learn more than what you learned in school on this topic, welcome. This podcast is for you. A gentle disclaimer. Please do not consider anything discussed on this podcast by myself or any guest of the podcast to be medical advice. The information is provided for educational purposes only and does not take the place of your own medical or lactation provider. Thank you. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Palladino, and today I have my friend Patricia Berg with me. Patricia brings a distinct blend of expertise as an international board-certified lactation consultant and a diplomat-certified craniosacral therapist. She was the first person in the world to hold both credentials, and I am so in awe of that. Her passion is helping families navigate the complex and intimate journey of breastfeeding and infant well-being. By combining advanced skills with heartfelt care, she provides a holistic approach tailored to address each family's unique needs. Welcome, Patricia. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Lisa. It's an honor to be here with you.
And we've been trying to do this for a long time, right? A couple of years back and forth. And Patricia is one of those people that I bump into at conferences. We spend like so many hours together, and then we could go months without even communicating, except like maybe a Facebook message. But one of those people that I feel like you're a lifetime friend for me.
I hope. Thank you. I do. And it was wonderful to have time with you in person. In Florida.
At the last American Laser Study Club conference, right? That was really a blast. So Patricia, you were an IBCLC for a while before you became certified in craniosacral.
Yes, that's true.
Correct? So what made you do that? Like, what was the impetus to say, you know what, I think I want to get this certification as
well. There was talk in the lactation world about craniosacral therapy and how, and its application to helping mothers and babies who are having breastfeeding difficulties. So from my perspective, it was potentially another tool in my toolbox.
Yeah. So I think that a lot of us like I've learned about craniosacral because I feel like I like to learn about all the different disciplines that I refer to, but I haven't had the headspace or the time to go and get certified, which it's on my bucket list. We've talked about this. But some of us go in other directions. I mean, I'm a midwife, I'm a nurse, whatever.
Like right.
My husband keeps telling me, stop going to school, you know, stop.
No,
enough.
Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop.
Yeah. So as a lactation consultant, were you welcomed to join? Because you were the first one to try to do this, right? How did that go?
This was back in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
I was the odd man out, but Dr. John really focused, as he grew the world of craniosacral therapy, on that the idea that anyone who wanted to have these skills could train to have the skills.
And you say Dr. John, but not all everyone in our audience knows
who
you're
referring to. Dr. John Upledger, the father of craniosacral therapy.
He's a legend, right? Yeah. So he welcomed you. He let you, you know, he allowed you to become certified, and almost any healthcare provider now can do that, right?
What you need to do is you need a license to touch.
Right, right. Yeah. And I respect that because there are other similar but different types of training that don't require a license to touch and just let parents learn, which is fine, but it shouldn't be confused with the real thing, right?
And just as you have seen in the time you've been a lactation consultant, how the requirements have changed over the years, so too in craniosacral therapy, because just like, similar to the world of lactation, there's a desire to be recognized by the medical world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have to legitimize ourselves for that, right?
Yes.
And it's tricky. It's tricky because we want to welcome all levels of providers, but we don't want to dilute ourselves either, right? There's so many different lactation consultants, and I've talked about that often. If anyone's followed me for a while, you've heard me talk about the alphabet soup of lactation, right? You can be a CLC, an IBCLC, a CBS, a this or that, an ABCFG.
And families don't know the difference.
Right, right. And not that they're not all helpful, right? It's just not the same.
Yeah. I started in La Leche League.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think it's very important for families to find what La Leche League gave. It gave people a place to get together, to talk to another mother, to hear that they weren't alone. My goal when I was a leader was I wanted everyone to leave the meeting with a phone number for someone else so that you had someone to reach out to, either for a play date or because you were having a bad day or, right? Or it's the same, you know, but a league leader does not have the same skill set as you and I as IBCLCs.
Right. It's peer support, much like the peer support through the WIC program that when I worked at the hospital, I was involved in helping them to train. And we gave the peer support counselors who had done their CLC access to come on the postpartum floor and help moms because there wasn't enough because the hospital I worked at wouldn't hire enough lactation consultants. So we had the peer support, and we have a Facebook group that locally to me that was started by La Leche and peer support counselors in my local area. And it's still going. It's like 15 years now. And it's that peer support is amazing,
but it's
not what we do. We do more than that. Much more than that.
Much more than that. Yes.
So I'm just curious if I'm a mom and I call you and I say, I have a baby and I'm having trouble breastfeeding. How do you differentiate? Well, what modality you're going to use? Cause that's one of the things that stops me from saying, well, which hat am I wearing or do you combine it?
There are times when people specifically call me just for lactation. There are people who call me specifically for craniosacral therapy. And more, there are people who will say, I would like both. Mm-hmm. If I am seeing you just as a lactation consultant and I see structural issues, I will talk to you about them, and I will talk to you about any number of ways that you, should you be open to it, could go and address the structural issues. Mm-hmm. Certainly you and I in the tongue tie world are well aware that it takes a team. And I often have lactation consultants now referring tongue tied babies to me for CST. So I'm just seeing them for CST and I refer them for lactation back to their lactation consultant.
That's a beautiful way to integrate your specific skills, because we are all specialized in one thing. We shouldn't be doing everything for everyone. That's understanding and feeling. And even I have that sort of reciprocal relationship with lactation consultants who don't have a medical degree like I do, mm-hmm. and can't evaluate for low milk supply with labs or interpret labs or prescribe something that somebody may need. Right. So I'm not doing their lactation. Right. Even though I'm a lactation consultant, they have their lactation consultant and they'll refer to me, and then I'll consult, you know, we all consult together and make a plan as a team, which is, you know, that's unrelated to tongue tie, even though a lot of those babies have tongue tie, but it's more about milk supply issues or underlying illness issues that someone who doesn't have the degree that I do or the licenses that I do can't take care of. So it sounds like similar to what you're doing.
Very similar. And some of the lactation consultants will phone me or email me and say, I've referred Susie to you. This is what's going on. This is what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. And I also will say, tell me what your plan is so that I can support your plan with this family.
That's an elegant way to handle it, because we don't ever want to step on somebody else's toes, even if we don't agree with that plan. It's their plan.
It also, as you understand, what one of our colleagues sees on Monday can be totally different on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. And so, even what the parent talks about as the chief concerns can be totally different.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you know that over 60% of breastfeeding moms experience challenges like engorgement, clogged ducts, and oversupply? These issues are not only painful, they're some of the top reasons moms give up early or never even want to try to breastfeed. That's where Cabo Cream comes in. Formulated by an OBGYN and trusted by both moms and professionals, Cabo Cream is the only topical cream made with powerful cabbage extract, designed to make breastfeeding, weaning, and drying up milk when that's needed more comfortable. It's available in two strengths, original and extra strength, so you can choose what works best for your particular needs. Visit cabocream.com and use the code TT25 to save 10% on your order. Practitioners, free samples are available. Check out the link to cabocream.com in the show notes. Make breastfeeding more comfortable with Cabo Cream.
And I do, as you heard me speak at the conference, I do pre and post pictures. Mm-hmm. And I've now started doing them with my children as well as my infants. Mm-hmm. I will take a picture before I do a session, and I'll take a picture after, and I will go over it with the parents, because I don't expect parents to see what I see.
Right, right. But do they recognize the changes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen torticollis almost resolve in one session. It drifts back again, but the change in the posture of the baby. I love CST. We've talked about this. Anyone who follows me knows that I'm always talking up CST for babies, for grownups. I love it for myself. It got me through my Invisalign treatment. I wouldn't have done it. I would have given up without the cranial sacral because I was so activated in my mouth by having the aligners. And I have blessed to have a very good friend who is a cranial sacral therapist and an SLP, which is also a beautiful combination.
Yeah, that's a great combination.
And she treated me. I had to have, you know, in between appointments with her children almost sitting on me, but that's beside the point. They're adorable boys.
And there's I just found an article on treating torticollis with visceral manipulation and neuro work. And mm-hmm. I've trained in visceral and I've trained in lymph, and it's a really, I'll get a copy of the article and share it with you because it was really interesting. Because again, as you know, we're always looking for research to share with medical people and with parents. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to share what research we have with parents to support different modalities.
So you're talking about the pictures you're taking. I hope that this is going to be something that you can present or turn into even retrospective research, right?
I can.
Yeah,
I
it's yet, important.
Yeah, and I do get permission. I get permission from families to take pictures, and then if I'm going to use them in publication or for a talk, I go back and I say, I just wanted to check in about using the picture because mm-hmm. I'm very respectful. We need to be respectful yes. of the families that we're working with.
Yeah. And I think it's so important. You know, every talk is about evidence. We have the evidence of our experience, which really counts
important.
For a lot. Right. But we have to start showing it, which is so hard because those of us who are doing don't always have time to stop to show what we're doing. Right.
John F. Ledger used to say that people would give him a hard time about it. He's like, I can either do or I can research, but there are only right. 24 hours in the day.
Right. Right. And the interesting thing about craniosacral therapy is that theoretically, it looks like nothing is happening, mm-hmm. right? Like the touch is so light.
Yep.
It looks like you aren't doing anything. So the fact that there are results from it, it shouldn't work, but it does. I feel the same. I put it in the same category as homeopathy. Homeopathy shouldn't work, but it does.
And that's part of why I take pictures. Uh-huh. And when we teach, I'm a teaching assistant for the Institute. At level one, we actually hand nickels out to everyone in the class and have them put the nickel at different places on their face. Close your eyes, put a nickel on to get a sense. Nickel is 5 grams. That's the most that's the heaviest pressure. And behind that is the fact that if we are light, we can feel more. If mm-hmm. we push, you're going to become defensive. Mm-hmm. And so the only thing my hands will feel on your body is your ability to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. I will not be able to feel into your tissues, into your cells, to feel fluid motion if you're in a defensive place.
Mm-hmm. So this is all about feeling and sensing balance, would you say?
Well, I refer to it as listening with okay. my hands. So I'm listening with my hands. I want to feel restrictions. I want to feel places where things aren't flowing well. We have a concept in craniosacral therapy called an energy cyst. And an energy cyst is when you've taken usually trauma mm-hmm. into the body. And in my vision of it, which you will understand, is I visualize it as an abscess. Mm-hmm. When we have a traumatic event, if you go back to the basis of, we hold on to everything in our tissue. Mm-hmm. It's how we hold on to it. A traumatic event, our body will wall off similar to your and my concept as medical people of an abscess. Mm-hmm. And the body then has to work around it. And at some point, like anything else, the workarounds start to break down. Mm-hmm. So the goal, part of my goal, is to find those places and help the body to integrate it so it's no longer being destructive.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I've ever told this story on the podcast, but I had an experience of trauma that I was holding. And after a CST treatment, I had an intense treatment. Like when I say intense, I felt it intense. It wasn't like there was so much happening, right?
Yeah.
And I felt like I had the wind knocked out of me, but I didn't really know what was going on. And I think it was 2 or 3 days later, I was in a yoga class. I remember I was going to the wise yoga class. And in Shavasana at the end, I was laying there and all of a sudden my arm started like twitching and I felt an emotional release. Now, people may think I'm crazy hearing this, but I have never, I've heard other people have this thing. And when I went back and spoke to the person who did the treatment on me, she's like, that totally makes sense, especially for where I felt it and what she had worked on and what she had felt.
Right.
And I was literally sobbing, crying on the mat, which is common in yoga, you know, a lot of people. But the fact that it was like such a delayed response was like, to me, it was like, it took me that long for my body to say, it's okay to let go. And it only let go when I fully relaxed.
And that's part of it, is you won't let go until you're ready.
Yeah. Because I had to drive home after the treatment. That was it too. I was like an hour away from home. And I had to like keep, grin and bear it and get home. And then it took me a bit to relax. And once I totally relaxed, that was it.
That makes perfectly good sense. It's what we call, as I'm sure your CST told you, it's somatic emotional release.
Mm-hmm.
I see in my practice, I see everything from infants to end of life.
Mm-hmm.
And this past year, I had a 93-year-old call me.
Wow.
For vertigo.
Wow.
Vertigo. She'd seen all of the medical people, hadn't worked, wanted to try CST. And I did a home visit. She's 93.
Right.
She started screaming on the table.
Aw.
And I was, she was holding on to something from infancy. And
wow.
Since it's essentially in, I mean, I often sometimes also say it's like little Pac-Man, you know, they're running around inside being destructive,
mm-hmm.
you know, and once we were able to work through it, she got off the table and was stabler than she's been in years. But
wow.
Yes, we hold on to these things and eventually they eat away at us.
Yeah. So I'm trying to interpret this in relation to infants, because sometimes babies will cry a lot, right, during a CST, or sometimes they relax. What should parents look for after a treatment that might correlate with what we can express as adults that the baby can't express? That's something I never thought of, like an after reaction.
Well,
I want you to
put your midwife hat on.
Yeah.
And think about birth.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And think about birth trauma.
Yeah. And so much birth trauma.
And it's not just birth trauma for the parents.
Right.
It can be birth trauma for the parent. And often what happens for me, if I'm working with a baby and a baby starts crying inconsolably, yes, often I will put baby back in parents' arms and work with the baby in the parents' arms.
Mm-hmm.
But I also will ask the parents, because I don't always have this information beforehand, talk to me about the birth.
Mm-hmm.
And I will share with the parents. And it's very often, parents know that it was traumatic. It was
mm-hmm.
traumatic to them, or it was traumatic for the baby. And I will share with them that your baby is trying to talk about it. And I get it. I mean, you get it as a mother. Mm-hmm. Baby starts to cry. We go,
right.
It's okay.
Right.
And we have to back up and say, I'm here. I will listen. It's not easy for me to hear this story, especially for a mother.
Yeah.
To hear her baby cry.
Right.
And I will say, your baby needs to talk about it. Just like you and I as women, there are times when we want to talk about it and we don't want someone to fix it.
Right.
We need to vent.
We don't want to be shut up.
in the UpLedger curriculum, you cannot take pediatrics until you've taken somatic emotional release. And I know mm-hmm. that most other programs don't have that requirement. Mm-hmm. From my perspective, I want you as a CST to be prepared. Mm-hmm. Does every baby? No, no more than if I asked you, you'd tell me every baby doesn't have a traumatic birth.
Right.
But I want, if you're going to work with infants in CST, I want you to be prepared for that baby who has had a traumatic birth.
Mm-hmm. And also trauma that happens after the birth, like, you know, it could be as simple as baby should be skin to skin, but somebody thinks they have to be separated.
Yep.
Or as extreme as baby needs to be resuscitated, is in NICU, has had a lot of procedures around mm-hmm. their body and a lot of poking and prodding and lights and noise. And that's something that I see when I see a NICU baby as the trauma that's held onto there really needs treatment, because the parents are traumatized, but they're not realizing why it might be difficult for that baby to feed, because that baby's had so much going on in their mouth, or why maybe it's not the best time to get a tongue tie release. Uh-huh. Like I often put off as long as possible until that mother and infant have come back together enough to go through another trauma. You know,
in the cranial world, that becomes a great time to put mom and baby on the table together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we have to help them rebond, because that bond, it's not broken, but it's that bond is shaky because this baby right. was whisked away.
Right.
Yes. And a lot of times it's very important and it needed to be done.
Right.
But we have to help bring them back together as a unit.
Yeah. And then, you know, this is going back to birth trauma and lactation, and not even just birth trauma, but birth in itself. We don't think as a culture about the baby's experience. And I think this is one of the reasons that as lactation consultants, we automatically, if we're trained right, say, don't touch the baby's head when they're trying to latch. And I've been saying to mamas for years, because I used to catch these babies, if your bottom hurts, imagine what that baby's head feels like, that molded and pushed and pulled and went against your bottom. And I hope I'm not grossing anybody out that's listening, but this is a reality. The baby's head, even in the best delivery, has some what we could call trauma, or at least soreness. And here we are trying to hold the baby's head, sometimes pushing them on the breast, sometimes just holding them in place so they don't stop eating, and they push back because it's sore, it's uncomfortable for them, even if everything is okay, even if there isn't anything going on with their neck or their shoulders or their alignment, just the fact that they went through birth. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is part of my, like you said, I have a unique view because I used to be there watching that right. baby trying to navigate that birth canal and seeing all the twists and turns and molding that they have to do, you know? So yeah, so don't touch the, if you've never heard this and you're not lactation, when a baby's trying to latch, do not touch their head. If you touch their head, they're either going to push back or they're going to tuck in, which makes it impossible to latch comfortably. So never touch a baby's head. And I don't say a lot of nevers, right? Babies' heads are strong. Their necks, in general, are supportive. They don't have to be held in place. Support them, make them safe, but don't hold them in place. Support their necks, not their heads.
That's right. When I do CST, and I will do CST while a baby's nursing, but I'm very careful about where my hands are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But your touch for CST is different than what we're talking about.
But even with very light touch, I'm not touching that head.
Yeah. Yeah. So if there's anything you would like other medical professionals to know about craniosacral therapy, what would it be? Like let's just picture that we have like millions of pediatricians and OBs and midwives, people who are like really ingrained in medical culture. What would you like them to know about craniosacral therapy that they might not know?
We have a tremendous amount of research. It's on the UpLodge website about what we do, about how it came about, how the systems work. I want them to know that we're a team, and that part of what makes CST and CST practitioners different is we're going to look at the whole body as a unit. I know that you came in and said your shoulder hurts, or you came in and said your baby is not turning their head in one direction or another. The question for me is, when I look at the baby as a totality, or I look at you on my table, I want to see where that strain pattern is, because the strain doesn't always start where it's being exhibited.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at the person as a whole, whether they're a newborn or a 93-year-old.
Mm-hmm. I have a 6-year-old that laid down on my table earlier this week, and he looks like he's all crunched up in a pretzel.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that, his whole body is tight and strained.
Mm-hmm. So about the research, about the holistic nature, and that word gets thrown around, but holistic is important. I will not stop using that word, because it's
very
important. The one thing that I would like people to understand is that there is no harm to it. You cannot, there is absolutely no way you can harm someone with craniosacral therapy.
No, it's 5 grams of pressure, and
right.
You lose even less on a baby. And
right.
I think I said it at the conference. I have people who say to me, and not always respectfully, just look like you held my baby for an hour. And
right.
I'm like, yeah. I just sat here with your baby in my arms,
right.
Which goes back to why I take the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I lay them flat and take the pictures, because it may just look, but if you're watching, and I try and walk parents through it, you know, you'll see the arms are here, and then slowly the arms come down and the body unwinds. If there's been struggle coming through the birth canal, sometimes if you watch, and you're one who would see, this baby is redoing the birth in order to come to terms with it.
Mm-hmm.
John UpLodge talks about completion of the birthing process.
Mm-hmm.
You will see them actually twist and turn as they do to get through the canal,
right.
Work their way through that.
Right. Especially if they've had trauma or been forced, had a forced entry, as I like to say, either a vacuum extraction or maybe
forceps
or an episiotomy, which gets the baby born before the baby was actually ready to be born. And certainly a C-section is a whole
right.
Another story.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But fascinating stuff. And anybody who has listened to me or, you know, inside my course, I talk about the team approach, and CST is on my list of, you know, I teach about what it is. I don't teach CST, but I teach about it, why we need it in our practices and on our tongue tie teams. But honestly, I think everyone in the world should benefit from cranial sacral therapy. That's part of why I want to get my training, because I'm like,
yes,
I would love to do this to everybody. Because I think the world would be a happier place if we were all aligned, like having everything flow and having all our knots out and all our traumas released from our bodies. There's lots of different types of body work. And, you know, I talk about chiropractic and physical therapy and occupational therapy. And, you know, of course, like things like myofunctional therapy or different movement therapies, massage, these are all important. But I feel like craniosacral is the only one that shouldn't scare people, because some people are scared.
Some people are scared
of chiropractic. Some people are scared of physical manipulation of the body. And there is no physical manipulation.
No, we don't manipulate anything. Yeah. We facilitate so the body can do what it needs to do.
Right. And any chiropractors that are listening to me, I support chiropractic. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be walking if it wasn't for my chiropractor. It's a different modality, and I'm not dissing chiropractors. I love chiropractors. But this is something, this is a unique way to get some of the same results, right? It's interesting.
And sometimes even working together with a chiropractor, if I can get the tissue, the fascia, the musculature to stand down a bit, their adjustments will hold better. Because remember, muscle pulls bone out of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So until we relax that musculature, until we get fluid in that fascia moving, they're going to adjust a bone, but it's going to be pulled right back out of alignment.
Right. Yeah. Fascinating stuff.
It's a good pairing.
Yeah. Teamwork.
Teamwork.
Always. Teamwork first. Yeah. Well, Patricia, your patients are blessed to have you. Our organizations and our profession is blessed to have you. And I really appreciate your friendship, your education. You've taught me so much over the years. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It was an honor to be with you.
All right. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. Check out the show notes for useful links about the topics we discussed and for ways to follow us on social media. Please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. And if you enjoyed listening, we'd love it if you'd rate, review, and share with your friends and colleagues. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Are you a healthcare professional working with breastfeeding infants? Wish you knew more about assessing and treating tongue ties? Earn continuing education credits and transform your practice with the Professional's Guide to Tongue Tie in the Breastfeeding Infant. It's perfect for any practitioner who works with infants and their mothers, especially those working through feeding challenges. Learn to identify who needs treatment, build a qualified care team, and provide holistic care options. Discover the ins and outs of phrenotomy, including procedure preparation and best aftercare practices. By the end, you'll be confidently supporting breastfeeding families armed with the latest protocols and be part of an interdisciplinary community of experts just like you. Tongue ties are nothing new, but the right way to assess and treat them is. Ready to make a real difference? Join now and become a tongue tie expert. Sign up today at tonguetieexperts.net/professional and become the evidence-based resource that your community needs. To show my gratitude, I'm offering you a special discount as a podcast listener. Use code PODCAST40 to save 40% off today.